is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'll admit it, I'm a child of the 80s. The big hair, the leg warmers, Duran Duran and their purple lipstick. I secretly look back on all of it with a syrupy nostalgia that's probably best to leave behind in favor of reality. That is the message that comes through loud and clear in a new exhibition at the Institute of Contemporary Art called This Will Have Been, Art, Love, and Politics in the 1980s. I recently walked through the show with curator Helen Molesworth.
So, what do you want to talk about in here? There's a lot to look at.
I know, you pick it. There's too much art in here.
Everywhere you look, it's like, oh my God.
I would say that it's in honor of the decade of excess.
Yes,
there's a lot of art in here.
The installation definitely evokes the excessive, messy quality of the period.
Messy, yes. To that, I'd also add contradictory, controversial, and even ugly. We've hairsprayed and shellacked our memories of the 80s into an idealized tchotchke made up of Jelly Bracelets and Molly Ringwald movies. But walking through Molesworth's show, you are reminded that the 1980s was also the decade of unfettered capitalism, culture wars, the threat of mutually assured nuclear destruction, and an apocalyptic AIDS epidemic. Not feeling so fuzzy about those leg warmers now, are we? Good, because that's exactly Molesworth's point.
The show is a tricky show. On the one hand, it's very personal and political and partisan. It's my version of the 80s, and I say as much, and I don't mean it to be definitive in any way. On the other hand, it tries to reassess the decade and give us a new way of looking at it.
Can we start right here around
the
corner?
Yeah, this is a good one to
because
start with.
It's a portrait of one of the people who defined the 80s, President Ronald Reagan.
That is correct. For many artists, the election of Ronald Reagan was a kind of perfect storm. He symbolized, for many on the left, a return to order, a return to the time prior to the 60s and 70s. He symbolized also the newly spectacularized version of politics. So what we're looking at is a piece by the German artist Hans Hacke, and he has juxtaposed a portrait of Reagan that he has painted himself, an oil portrait, hung in a gold frame with a little clip light on a very magisterial red wall with a red velvet rope in front of it. So all of the trappings of high art, all of the trappings of power, and connecting them is a red carpet on the floor. And then you see on the other wall a large photo blow up of the demonstration against nuclear arms and nuclear power that opened the 80s in New York City. And so Hacke like asks us to, on the one hand, to choose, like, whose side are you on? Are you on the side of magisterial power, or are you on the side of the power of the people? But if you choose the power of the people, which I hope many of our listeners today will do, to be aware that that power is always able to be circumscribed by someone else.
The people have the power to redeem the work of fools from the meek, the grace to shower. It's decreed the people rule.
So where are we now?
We're in the end is near, so we're in the apocalyptic section of the show in which you see General Ideas wallpaper in which they've taken the very famous, iconic Robert Indiana Love logo, and instead of love, they've written AIDS, and they've produced it as wallpaper so that it's literally in the background of all cultural life, all social life was the AIDS crisis, and it talks not only about AIDS being this kind of background condition, this sort of white noise at a really high level, but it also talks about that one of the things the 80s is really the end of the 60s, the end of the hippie generation, the end of peace, love, and happiness, the end of drop out, tune in, turn on, like the end of that version of the counterculture. And instead, you have punk and hip-hop emerge as offering a very different model of what the counterculture might look like.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Straight out of Compton is a crazy brother named Ice Cube. From the stupid
you because this seems to be one of the defining aspects of the 80s. You've mentioned it a couple times now that it was this massively important, complex, tumultuous decade, much of which has been forgotten. What is it about the 80s? I mean, the people who lived through it are still alive. We're adults now.
Right. Well, I definitely think there's a huge embarrassment factor on the 80s. When I told people I was working on an 80s show, they would invariably like kind of cringe and make a joke, like a Madonna,
Molly Ringwald, jelly bracelets.
Exactly. You know, like big hair, shoulder pads. Like there was this kind of snap dismissal of the period. I mean, I think in the art world, there's been a refusal to deal with it because there were kind of two 80s. There was this really hardcore money 80s where the galleries got really big, the artists got really famous, and there was this huge influx of money into the art world. And gone was the bohemian character of the art world. In the other way, I think there's a trouble to deal with the 80s because of the AIDS crisis. But I also think part of the reason people don't want to talk about the 80s is we are living through one of the world's greatest financial crises. And the fact of the matter is that many of the tools and instruments and regulations that brought us to this financial crisis were in fact begun in the 1980s. And so looking back at the 80s is partly a way of looking back at the prehistory of our current moment. And I kind of think we don't want to do it.
So I was 5 years old at the beginning of the decade of the 80s.
So you were born in 1975.
Yes. Okay. There's a whole generation of people who are adults now who have fond memories of the plasticky part of the decade. And I was just wondering if you wanted to give a renewed sense of authenticity to what was really going on.
Yeah, I suppose in some way that is part of the motivation of the exhibition. I think that... Well, I mean there's the Koons Bunny, which is, I think, for many people, one of the most iconic objects of the decade. It's a 3-foot-high solid stainless steel, dipped in chrome, so incredibly shiny, sculpture of a blow-up plastic bunny. Many people, when they first look at it, don't understand it's actually solid metal. They think it's a balloon of some sort. And of course, it's highly reflective, and it, like a television, draws all the attention in the room to it. So it's really omnipotent. It's like, I rule everything. And you get this narcissistic pleasure of seeing yourself. You know, you check yourself out, it all looks good. And so for several people, it's like the ultimate 80s object. It's excessive. It's meaningless. It's about a meaningless thing. It's about a totally transitory object that it gets thrown away and ruins the environment in some landfill. But on the other hand, if the only thing that exists in this whole show 100 years from now, 1,000 or 5,000 years from now, is that bunny, people might have a fairly good idea of who we were and what we were about in the 1980s.
Helen Molesworth is the Barbara Lee Chief Curator at the Institute of Contemporary Art. This will have been Art, Love, and Politics in the 1980s, is currently on view at the ICA. Take a sneak peek at RadioBoston.org and then go see this show.
It is. Stay with us. Coming up, we'll talk sports with Only a Game's Bill Littlefield, then what you've all been waiting for, turkey. But this time with a twist. A trio of Boston foodies share their unconventional recipes for the holiday feast. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.